music, news, entertainment. It's all right here. It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
We're looking forward to welcoming three talented artists to the show this week. Rising Canadian music star Tyler Shaw drops by to chat about his new album Yesterday and being on the road with the one and only Kelly Clarkson. American jazz artist Haley Loren, who hails from Alaska, talks about her latest album, Butterfly Blue, and what influence being from the North has had on her music. Toronto-based Ben Cunder is next, chatting about his debut album, Golden, and lead single, Half Moon. We wrap things up with DJ and producer Stonebridge and his latest track, Out of Nowhere. Very happy on the Kelly Alexander Show to welcome a rising superstar, Tyler Shaw.
Hello.
So we're very excited to have you on the show. I know I've had you, I think, audio-wise, but we've never done a video for this,
right.
So I'm very excited.
Right. Yeah.
So first of all, your new single, Dizzy, is amazing, and it feels
Thank
like
you.
It's a departure from your other sound. Like, you were a bit more acoustic-y, if I can say that.
Definitely a departure. More JT-inspired. That's a lot of the feedback has been coming back as more JT-inspired, and I think so as well. I'm trying to grow up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm not 19 anymore. I'm 22. It is it's a sexual song.
Mm-hmm.
I just got the okay for the video treatment.
Nice.
So I'm filming that this weekend.
Okay.
So there's going to be some really slick things going on, some skin, all that. So,
nice.
Yeah,
are you going to turn into like Dancer Man?
No.
Okay.
No. I cannot dance at all. The most you'll see me do on the dance floor is the robot or the attempt at the robot anyway.
Talk to us a little bit about the song, though, because, again, it's, like, for lack of a better term, it's more, like, dancey a little bit,
it
you
is,
know?
Yeah.
And it's, again, lots of cool effects. And it just sounds, it almost sounds like, I know you're saying JT, it almost sounds like when he decided to go solo in that first album, it was just, like, super slick, but very soulful.
Yeah,
did you know going in that that song was going to be that way? Like, did you have a good idea?
I had a good idea of the direction I wanted to go in. I kind of wanted to show what I'm capable of, like, I have the Kiss Goodnight, I have the By My Side, those are all like very pop and very routine songs. I have the House of Cards, which is my first ballad,
right?
And then I was like, okay, I want to give someone or give the fans like more spices, you know? Okay, Tyler, he can be, you know, badass and sexy and all that. Who knows, maybe my next song will be a reggae you know, easy laid back tune. I don't know, you know, I just want to let people know that I'm more than just a pop artist. I'm an actual artist who has flavors, who has the capability of doing more than just pop music.
Now, with this new song, the way it is, again, it's not as acoustic-y as the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to be like a direction you're heading in, or are you going to still sort of stay like a variety? I know you mentioned the reggae tune potentially, but like, do you feel like you're growing into a sound, I guess, is what I'm asking you.
I'm just going with the flow, honestly.
Okay.
The whole album is kind of different flavors and stuff. It's it's pop. That song Dizzy is definitely one that sticks out because it's so different. But for my future, you know, second album or third album, I don't know, maybe something drastic will happen in my life and I'll become like a Snoop Lion. You know how Snoop Dogg went to Snoop Lion? Maybe I'll become some kind of crazy guy. No, I'll be okay. But I'm just going with the flow and see what happens.
Now, you mentioned that the video treatment, there'll be a bit of skin showing. So does that mean that Tyler Shaw has been working on his abs?
No, not from me, actually. No skin from me, but there will be some skin.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to leave you with, yeah.
Now, the album, again, because I first talked to you not long after the first single came out, so that was a couple years back, and it seems like it's taken you a couple years to actually get this first album done. Has it been like growing pains a little, because it's, you know, in a way you've had to wait so long for it to happen?
I've had to wait a long time. This actually album was delayed. It's been delayed for about 2 years. We kept on having some release dates. It was, you know, oh, it's gonna come out on this day, and I would announce it over social media, and then a week before that happens, I had to take it down because we just weren't ready for it. But I think it's a good thing that we had to wait, because we have such amazing events happening around the album release. I'm going out on tour with Kelly Clarkson and Nick Jonas in the fall, you know. The House of Cards did fantastic for me. Dizzy's on the up. So it just, timing's everything, I think, you know. So I'm really glad it did get delayed and it did take this long to come out, because we were trying to finesse every little fine line thing, and now that we have it perfect, it's go time.
Now, again, I interviewed you pretty early on when you kind of came into the public's eye, and now, again, we're a couple of years down the line. What's the biggest thing that you feel that you've learned in these last couple of years, like, about the music industry and about you growing up from 19 to 22?
It's not easy. You actually have to work at it. It's you can't just, you know, wake up and sit there and hope everyone else does everything for you. You know, you actually have to put in the work. I'm on emails too. You know, I'm doing my emails. I'm writing. Mm-hmm. I'm doing work. You know, it's not a 9-to-5. It's more of a wake up, work, go to bed, you sleep for 5 hours, wake up, work. It's you're constantly in the drive, working at it, mm-hmm. trying to, you know, reach your goal, whatever your goal may be. I'm not there yet. I definitely won't be there for a while because I know I have a long way to go, but I'm taking all the right steps. So
how has it felt sort of building your fan base across Canada? Because, like, obviously this is your home turf right now. This is where you kind of, I guess, need to start and get
totally.
Bigger. Yeah, what does it feel like to have the support of your Canadian fans and the fact that it's growing?
It's amazing, especially because I am Canadian. Mm-hmm. So it's a place where I can always, I know that they have my back no matter what, mm-hmm. because there's that Canadian bread kind of thing. So Canada's amazing, especially Montreal. I was telling people earlier today that every time I'm in Montreal, you guys never disappoint. The show
nice.
Yesterday at Carve was amazing. I played 2 weeks ago, opening up for Shawn Mendes in Sergent-sur-Richelieu.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That was amazing. I have so many great pictures from that show, so many new fans, and you guys just are tremendous here. It's amazing, breathtaking.
Now, you mentioned opening for Kelly Clarkson.
Yes.
Obviously, she's huge. She seems like such a great person just
she
in
is.
General.
Yes.
So, have you met her yet?
Yes, I have.
Okay,
yeah.
Fantastic. So, how did that go, and how did you actually get the gig then to open for? Because that's huge.
Yeah, I'll tell you the story, actually. So, that actually came through Sony. Sony graciously hooked up that deal, so I thank them for that so much. Well, here's how it happened. So, you know, Sony talks to Kelly's manager, and Kelly's telling me this as I met her. When did I meet her? About 3 weeks ago when she did her show in Toronto.
Okay.
You know, I'm like, oh, thank you so much for the opportunity. So she's telling me this story. Her manager comes up to her and says, you know, Tyler Shaw is going to open up for you on the Canada leg of your tour. She's like, hold on, honey. She goes to the computer, starts Googling, YouTubing me, researching me front to back. And by the end, she's like, yeah, this kid's good. This kid's got a good voice. And hearing that from her was like, wow, are you kidding me? Kelly Clarkson, probably one of the best voices in the world, telling me that I have a great voice. I don't think it gets much better than that.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Do you hope she covers one of your songs? Because she covers everybody. She always does everybody's songs.
I would absolutely die if she did, for sure.
What's it going to feel like for you? Because this will be, I guess, your first time doing, like, big stadium gigs in a way. Like, she's
totally.
Done all these big arenas. I know she's coming to our Bell Center.
Yep,
so
that's right.
What are you even imagining?
Just a good time. I it hasn't really hit me yet, to be honest. I've been preparing for it, for sure. But I don't think it'll hit me until I'm side stage, ready to go up and kill my first set, you know what I mean? So I'm overall excited and ready to take the next step in my career. I think this is going to open up a lot of opportunities. So yeah.
Do you have a big sort of, I guess, goal to head south? Like, I know we talked about you building your career here, but do you think you'll maybe head south and write in Los Angeles or write in New York?
Absolutely.
Okay.
100%. Yes. In the end game, like, that's definitely where I think I'll end up, is LA or New York. I would prefer New York over LA, to be honest.
Okay.
But even so, like, even if it's not the States, I know Europe has a huge music scene.
Mm-hmm.
Asia has a huge music scene.
Mm-hmm.
I'm half Asian. I think that would work very well for me. So there's a lot of different territories we can explore, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what do you want to say to your fans who have been following you for so long? Like, what does their support mean?
It means the world. Okay. Honestly, if I became what I am today because of them. I became who I am today because of the covers competition, getting that. They were the ones who kind of put me on the pedestal and was like, this kid's good. Like make him something because he has it. So if it wasn't for them, I would be in university still as a sociology student. So,
which is still good.
Which is still good.
Stay in school. If you could actually go out for lunch right now with any recording artist that's sort of in the top 40 landscape to pick their brain, who would it be and why?
In the top 40? In the top 40, I think Taylor Swift, for sure.
Okay.
She seems like a genuine person. I would date her. And then we would break
Calvin,
up.
Get out of the way.
And we would write songs about each other, and they would both be in the top 40. No, I think she has something going for her. For she's doing everything right. She's such an amazing human being.
Okay.
I've watched her videos on YouTube of her monologues at her concerts and stuff. So, Yeah, I think picking her brain would be a good lunch date for sure.
And who is the coolest celebrity that has like tweeted you or mentioned you that you know about?
That I know about?
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't think any celebrity has.
Okay. Wait till Kelly Clarkson sends some tweets out. That'll be fantastic.
Yeah, that'll be great.
And then before I let you go, the album, you know, coming out very soon on September 4th yesterday.
Yeah.
What do you want your fans to take away from it? Because is it a collection of songs or is it thematic?
It's both. The album yesterday, it's called Yesterday just because I started making songs when I was 13 years old kind of thing. So it's all my experiences from yesterday, from my past.
Okay.
And I believe that, what you do in your past kind of reflects on who you are today.
Mm-hmm.
So all these songs that you'll hear are kind of experiences and just personal reflections on who I've become because of my past and because of the experiences that I've experienced. So if you can relate, if you can find a personal connection, then I think I've done my job.
Fantastic. Yep. Now, how do you want new people that are going to learn about you to follow you? Because you are on Twitter, you're on Instagram.
I'm on all
that.
How
do they follow you?
Tyler Shaw Music is the plug. So if you go online and you just search that, you can find all my social media there.
Tyler, all the best of luck and keep producing great music.
Thank you so much.
Tyler Shaw, Kelly Alexander on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Hey guys, it's Tyler Shaw and you're listening to my latest single, Dizzy, on The Kelly Alexander Show.
I can't even. I try to speak but my words they trip. I'm skipping steps that I know I shouldn't skip. Try to hit but I'm scared I'll miss. You got me girl, you got me. Girl you got me feeling so, and you make me lose control. I'm about to hit the floor. So do not come. Everything is beautiful. I can't close my eyes, I still see it on my eyelids. Your body, the way it lies, so perfect, I'm surrounded. I try to speak but my words they trip. I'm skipping steps that I know I shouldn't skip. Try to hit but I'm scared I miss. You got me girl, you got me. But you got me feeling so, and you make me lose control. I'm about to hit the floor. So do not come. Everything is beautiful. Girl, you got me feeling so, and you make me lose control. I'm about to hit the floor. So do not come. Everything is beautiful.
Find us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Click on KellyAlexanderShow.com.
Our next guest, quite simply, has an amazing voice, and we cannot wait for you to hear what she's got to say. Haley Loren is an American jazz artist who grew up in Alaska before making her way to Oregon. Her new album, Butterfly Blue, has recently been released, and we're happy to have her on the program. Haley, welcome to The Kelly Alexander Show.
Thanks so much for having me, Kelly. It's great to be here.
So I wanted to kick off by finding out how you started on your musical journey.
Well, it's a long story. I've been doing this. I've been professionally playing music for half of my life, since I was 14 years old. And prior to that, I started performing at age 10 when I was living, as you had mentioned, in Alaska. And I've had a lifelong love for music that has, it's always been really obvious to me that I really wanted to do this, regardless of, you know, what that might entail, for a really long time. And so it's really just wonderful to be able to play out my lifelong dream as my career these past few years. It's really been awesome.
Would you say that jazz was always in the cards for you?
You know, I've been a longtime lover of jazz. When I was growing up in Alaska with my parents, we didn't have a lot of radio access. We didn't have a lot of variety, just sort of streaming on the airwaves like a lot of other places. It was a pretty isolated place, and so most of what I had access to was my parents' album collection. And there was a lot of jazz in there. There's also a lot of Joni Mitchell, you know, a lot of classic, what now today we consider really classic music, a lot of that of James. And so that was really highly influential for me as a young singer, developing my taste and sort of my approach musically. And, you know, I do a lot of different things, but jazz has certainly, you know, been a really big love of mine for a long, long time.
How would you describe your sound in the world of jazz? Like, do you think it's a little bit different than what other people are doing?
I have a lot of pop sensibilities. And I've definitely, that's made its way into a lot of my music. I think I really love also the storytelling aspect of singing. And so that for me, I like simplicity a lot. I like kind of stripping down to the most essential elements of what a song means to me. And I do think that really does differentiate it somewhat. I really enjoy a lot of other aspects of music, but for me, that's always like the tantamount part. And, you know, I think that probably does have an effect on my style. I really also am a lover of melody. And so the material that I choose oftentimes has a lot of really melodic elements. And that also definitely plays into the sound a lot.
Is there an artist or a band that you would say sort of shows up in your music that you grew up listening to that somehow has seeped into who you are?
Oh, wow. Well, there are a lot of them. the list is a long one. But as far as really predominant ones, I'd say one of my biggest influences is Nat King Cole as a jazz vocalist, just because he cuts the quick, so well, you know. And it was so much about the delivery of each word as this precious thing. And that really connects to me. I also was really hugely influenced by people like Patsy Cline. Like I'd already mentioned, Etta James, huge influence on me. One of my very favorite singers still to this day. It's a wide palette, but it's certainly a lot of singers that are they're so fantastic at their craft that you really can't go wrong in having them as influences, I think.
Do you have a guilty pleasure that people might be surprised to know that you enjoy? Like, are you a Britney Spears fan potentially?
Oh my gosh! Wow, from left field. let's see here. Well, you know, I really have, there's a band that, I don't know if I think they're still, you know, doing quite a bit of stuff, but they're from, the East Coast area, called the Brazilian Drills. They're sort of an electronica band that's been somewhat popular over the years, but, I love their stuff so much. It's just absurd. And I don't think that's my typical fare that people would expect, that I probably really dig a lot.
That and Metallica. Joining us on the show is American jazz artist Haley Loren. Make sure to check out her website for tour dates and social media, HaleyLoren.com. You know, you mentioned earlier, and I had sort of mentioned off the top, that you sort of spent, I would say, your early part of your life in Alaska before moving mm-hmm. south. Do you think that any parts of that also have seeped into who you are as an artist, just because that's obviously gorgeous surroundings over there?
Oh, absolutely. I think that my environment, both in Alaska and in Oregon, which is also incredibly gorgeous in its own right, they're very close to nature places. And I think for me, that really impacts my, you know, my creative life. It's inspiring. It's it's a freeing thing, you know, being that close to these great natural places. Because I've grown up in it, you know, it's one of the only kind of things in the world that really makes me feel totally right with everything, and really in that zen mindset that I find it's so much easier to create in. But I also think that, you know, growing up in Alaska really shaped my musical palette in so many ways because of the isolation, because of the types of things that I was exposed to, because there weren't a lot of other things around. You know, and getting into music so early was also a result, I think, of not having as many distractions as maybe as if I would have lived somewhere else. And so, you know, I'm really grateful. And it was a gorgeous place to grow up. And, you know, and I've got a lot of awesome stories for it, too.
That's awesome.
Bear stories, you know.
I wanted to ask you, I know you spent some time in Nashville, if I've done my research correctly, but I was wondering, yeah. You know, and you mentioned now that you live in Oregon. Do you find there was a pull to maybe go to New York or Los Angeles? Like, especially in New York, I would say, maybe on the jazz tip, like, do you find that you're able to do what you need to do being based on the West Coast, like the Northwest Coast?
Well, you know, it's certainly different. It's definitely a different kind of journey. I did definitely feel a pull towards music centers when I was kind of really getting my feet wet into figuring out how do I want to make this my career. You know, I was a teenager. I was really serious about it. And I visited all of those places kind of in search of where I could land and still feel like, you know, not be totally paralyzed by the bigness of that, because I was from such a small place in the world. So Nashville actually was this wonderful sort of middle ground of being a large music center, but also having sort of a bit of a smaller town atmosphere with really tight-knit communities that I sort of found my way to right away. So that was really nice because I was very young. I was 17. But when I came back to Oregon and started to pursue this career on my own outside of the music center, it was the age of the internet. And so, and by that I mean, like, you know, the digital era of musicians suddenly having all these different tools, resources, and communities at their fingertips and ways of getting music out there that didn't require for you to be, you know, a part of this bigger machine. And that's still really coming to you know, into its own, one could say. But, you know, that was a huge game changer. And so I have been able to do a lot of things from a relatively, you know, less active area as far as what's been traditionally a music center. But I've been able to kind of forge it my own way, which has been wonderful because that totally follows through with what the rest of my life has been like. So it feels very me.
Awesome. Now, can you talk to us about your latest album, Butterfly Blue, and how it actually came together and the meaning behind the title?
Yes. Butterfly Blue, the title, I'll start there, is an amalgamation between two of the song titles, Butterfly and Blue. And they're both original tunes that are featured on the album. The album has quite a few original tunes, almost half of it. Not all of them are on my own, but a couple of them are written by another wonderful songwriter named Daniel Gallo, Blue being one of those, and Butterfly is my song. The album is, it's definitely a jazz pop with tinge of soul. That was sort of the direction I wanted to go in. But I also had this general idea of a thematic thread in mind as I was doing the song selection process and sort of figuring out what it wanted to say. And it's a real there's a lot of play on the theme of captivity and freedom and struggle and transcendence. And so a lot of these songs in some way or another play into that, whether it's more on an existential level or more on a romantic, emotional level. But they all have a lot of emotional draw for me, all of the songs on it.
It sounds like you had a plan going in about kind of where you wanted to go. Looking back and now seeing, you know, what's come out, the album's out, did it happen how you thought it would? And or is it more of like you sort of went with the flow?
Yeah, it never happens as I think it will. It's got its own life. It's kind of like, you know, anything that you kind of bring into this world. Sometimes it takes turns that you had no idea were going to be happening. So, you know, one thing about creating so many albums over the course of my career, I was trying to count the other day. It's either my seventh or my eighth. I think it's actually on that. But I've released, you know, 8 albums. And in that amount of time, it's a great growing process to realize how much that you know, keeping control over the process and the end result is important, and how much letting go and just letting it kind of be what's emerging is also part of the process. You kind of have to find this balance. And so that was definitely the case with this album more than any other, in that it took me places that I didn't expect. And there were some things that I really wanted, that I thought I really wanted, that didn't happen, that I was just disappointed with. But other things that happened that I, you know, was incredibly enthusiastic and inspired by, that I had no idea. So it's always such a mixed bag. It really is.
Would you say it's harder to be a jazz artist or like a singer-songwriter? Because I, you know, I'm fortunate that I get to interview like all different types of artists on this show. And we've had our fair amount of singer-songwriters, and a lot of them obviously are independent and they're sort of running their own show because that's the way the world is right now. And I'm assuming that's the same for your genre of music. But do you think because yours is such a... I mean, because I almost feel like anybody can call themselves a singer-songwriter. Like the genre is so wide open, even though you usually know that there's going to be guitar strumming at some point.
Maybe. Ask Tori Amos, I guess.
How do you find it is in the world of jazz? Like, do you find it's a difficult climb, or do you feel like you guys are a bit unique and have a specialized fan base?
Oh, that is a very difficult question for me to answer with any authority. You know, it's so the wonderful thing and the totally perplexing thing for I think a lot of people in music now, particularly those who haven't just come into it in the last, you know, 5 to 7 years, is that the paradigm is changing so much that the classification of genres, I feel like at least, the line is blurring so much more than ever before. And I love that. Because I do feel like I straddle a lot of different worlds with my music. I definitely don't feel like it's mere, you know, like it's only jazz or it's only this or that. I have a lot of singer-songwriter elements in what I do. I have a lot of pop. I have a lot of folk in what I do. You know, things really tend to cross the borders a lot. And so it's really hard for me to say. I don't necessarily feel like I fall into any of the one category solely. I just think that regardless of what music genre you're part of or what, you know, you're classifying your newest album as or what you're marketed as, it's always, for me at least, it's always about connecting with fans and making the music that inspires you. That's really what it comes down to. And as long as I'm doing both of those things and hopefully making a living at doing it because I love doing what I do, you know, that's really what the important pieces are.
What is the best part of your job? Is it the writing? Is it the performing? Is it all of it? Like, I'm fortunate. I'm on the number one radio station here in Montreal when it comes to top 40, and I love my job. There's not one part of my job I don't like, even though some of it obviously is work. What's the best part of your job?
I love songwriting. I do love that. That's something that is sort of my secret pleasure. You know, I don't ever do it around anybody else. It's always just me and inspiration. And I love that part of it, the solitude and the creating something out of nothing. But I so love performing for people who are really just taking the music that we're creating and applying it to their own, you know, emotional experiences, and that connection, that synergy, that's just an unbeatable thing. I can't even describe it. Sometimes it's enough to to get me through anything else I'm going to be going on. You know, it's such a of an honor to be able to impart any kind of emotional experiences for people. It really is. It's like, wow, I can't believe I get to do this on my job.
And before I let you go, you know, the album's out now. Obviously, you've got a lot going on, I'm sure. What's in the cards for you over the next 6 to 12 months? Is it like touring like crazy? Is that the plan?
There is quite a bit of touring happening, yeah. Of course, I'm heading up your way.
Yay!
This week. Yeah, I'll be in Montreal as part of the Montreal Jazz Festival on Saturday, the 27th of June. At Upstairs Jazz, so that's happening. I'm also, prior to that, I'm going to be stopping in other parts of Canada and going to New York, and I've got a bunch of West Coast shows planned. I'll be going to Eastern Asia at the end of the season. I've got lots of stuff developing for the fall. It's always, you know, there's some things that get planned out way far ahead of time and other things that start coming up in droves as you get closer, and it's sort of the way that the business works. So oftentimes things don't become clear until it's still pretty close in, but it's really busy, and that's always a good thing. You know, it's really great to be able to stay busy being a musician full time.
That's amazing. Well, Haley, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That is American jazz artist Haley Loren. Make sure to check out her website, HaleyLoren.com.
A yellow bird, she sings and dreams of things she's never seen. And the yellow bird, her wings have never touched the spring rain. Where does such a breezy melody come from if she's never seen the sky? She says she was born with joy, and it blossoms from the inside. In this seed I find all I need to write the music of my feathered friend, your cage, my strive you to rage. Sometimes to think that you have aged, staring at nothing but beige walls. She says, you know, our lives aren't so different as you would believe. All are in of some kind, tethered by the stories that we weave. I hear her song rising sweet and strong, and I'm lifted by the sound. Living proof of a simple truth, it's in the mind where freedom's found. of things I've never seen, and they get above her wings, have touched everything.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show. Like us on Facebook, Kelly Alexander Show.
Our next guest has roots in acting and musical theater and even knows his way around hammers and nails with skills as a carpenter. But his latest adventure is releasing his debut album, Golden, and lead single, Half Moon. Ben Cunder, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Ben, I wanted to start off by asking you how your musical journey actually kicked into gear.
It started from a very young age. My father had a large record collection and took me to a lot of great concerts of people that have inspired me along the way, like Bob Dylan and Neil Young and Joni Mitchell. We also were given a piano, an upright piano that was a great aunt's of mine. And so I started learning piano from a young age, and then found my father's old classical guitar from his university days in the basement at around the age of like 9 or 10, and taught myself with his old songbooks.
And when we talk about your past in acting and in musical theater, did you think that that's where you were heading with the career, or did you always know you'd sort of come to music?
Well, I always felt like music was a part of my life and would be a part of my life no matter what. Theater was also a part of my family's life. Both my parents were involved in the arts in that way. So I felt like I had already acquired and taught myself how to sort of play music and make music, and had my own taste in that, but wanted to explore theater and acting more. So I went to school for theater and thought I would do acting and be able to do both and just sort of live a multi-creative life, you know. And in the past years, I've realized that music is a much more important to me. So I've sort of delved headfirst and focused solely on that.
Has it been challenging to get to this point with regards to figuring out, you know, where your head is really at, your head and your heart, I guess, and also to come to the point of releasing your debut album?
Yeah, it has. As an actor, for the period of time that I was acting, and still occasionally I do audition for things, I would go off and do, you know, regional theater across the country, and it would take me away for 7 weeks, 2 months, 3 months at a time, which meant that I was leaving my band and sort of my music. I was gaining new experiences and having adventures and sort of learning new things to help with my writing and my music and to inspire me. But every time I left, it got harder and harder to leave my music behind, is sometimes what it felt like.
Now, if we talk about, you know, your love of music, where did the influences start? Like, which artist or band, you know, really sort of got you going? And do you find that those sounds or that type of music has seeped into what you do a little bit?
Certainly. Yeah. I mean, you know, the great songwriters like Bob Dylan and Neil Young and Joni Mitchell were my first songs I learned how to play were from a, you know, 1963 Bob Dylan songbook. So I'm heavily inspired by them. And then just sorting through my dad's record collection with Jackson Browne and John Prine and Patsy Cline and all kinds of greats like that. So I get a lot of my inspiration in songwriting from the early listenings of my childhood.
Joining us on the show is Toronto-based singer Ben Cunder. Check out his website, bencunder.com. I want to talk now about the album, Golden, and also the lead single, Half Moon. Was it difficult or easy to choose that as the single? Because I'm always intrigued to know, like, how much agonizing you go over before you come out with the single.
Yeah, it was very difficult. What was difficult also is that I sort of released the title track, Golden, in November as a single on 7-inch vinyl, and did a little tour then. So I was trying to almost re-release Golden as this title track again, but thought I should move on. So it was quite difficult to then choose to go with the more, you know, Canadian straight rock Half Moon, or to find a more storytelling songwriter tune or something slower. It was difficult, but I think that Half Moon is, you know, it's the summer, it's a good energy, and you know, it makes me feel good when I listen to it and when I sing it. So I'm happy that's the choice that I ended up making.
In the back of your mind, are you always thinking when you're writing and creating, you know, a song, is it always in the back of your mind, you know, I need to make sure that's on some level this is radio friendly?
No, I don't think that's ever been on my mind. I think sometimes, no, it's usually the last thing on my mind, which maybe isn't helpful actually, but once in a while I'll write a song and then play it back after. And you can feel when something's right and there's a hook, but I don't usually know until I've played it for my band or for other people and they say, oh, that's a good hook, that's a good chorus, or I like that lead line or that riff. So no, it's usually not in the forefront of my mind.
Is it important for you to sort of, you know, get the exposure on radio formats? You know, because I know there's, you know, some people are like, oh, it's fine if I just, you know, am under the radar and live this artistic life, which is, you know, great. But obviously, yeah, you have to pay the bills as well. So I'm wondering where your mindset is on that part of things.
Yeah, well, I would certainly like to be recognized a little more, mainly because I'm looking for longevity. You know, I'd like to continue my musical path and continue writing and creating. And at some point, if I could stop being a carpenter so that I could spend my days writing music, that's kind of the end goal. So really any way I can, and if it's more exposure, then you know, I'll certainly seek that out. And I feel like after this record, I want to make another record, so so any way that's, you know, music can be heard. And I also write music like for people, you know. I mean, music is written for joy and for storytelling and to share, and it can sometimes bring out the best emotions and raw emotions in people. So if I can be a part of that, then I'm all for it as well.
Talk to us a little bit about the album. You know, is it a collection of songs? Is it thematic? You know, how do you want people to ingest Golden?
It is a collection of songs. It's sort of a hand-picked selection of songs out of, you know, a few hundred that I've written in the past years. And I realized after I chose all the songs that they fall under maybe a theme of movement and motion and traveling and trying to build and keep relationships alive and strong and make new ones while sort of moving and growing through life.
When it comes to the writing process for you, I'm always sort of fascinated by each artist that I speak to, how they work. Like, do you have sort of a formula down kind of thing where you do things, you know, not the same way every time, but kind of similar? Or does it really depend on the song?
Yeah, I used to have a formula. I used to like force myself to sit down and write lyrics and write a song and then write music to it. But these days it's when I'm inspired. So I'll sit with my guitar for a couple hours and, you know, play a bunch of riffs and do some chord changes and save it for some other time and then write some poetry or be out and have, I generally carry a book with me or a journal with me so that I can write whenever I feel like it. So it's a little more unstructured than it used to be. Yeah, less structure and more just trying to create what I can.
Is social media important to you with regards to gaining new fans and spreading the word?
Yeah, I mean, I think it has to be these days, you know. You can't really, I mean, until you have that bit of exposure and that bit of recognition, it's very difficult to move forward and have people listen to your music without using all the forms of social media out there. I mean, lately I find that I spend just as much time on my computer as I do with my guitar, which is a little exhausting at times, but I think it's important to connect also.
And what do you hope for yourself in the next 6 to 8 months? Like, where do you see yourself going?
Oh, I don't know. Hopefully playing more and writing more. I'm finishing up this tour, and then I'm taking a tiny little break because my wife and I are expecting a baby, and really any day now. So I'm expecting to be a father and figure out how to be a good father and musician at the same time. And then I'm doing a cross Canada tour in the late summer, early fall, which is in the works. And then I'm really not sure. I'm just trying to find more ways to be making music and playing for new listeners.
Awesome, Ben. Well, we wish you all the best of luck, and you're welcome back on the show anytime.
Awesome. Thank you so much. This is great.
That's Toronto-based singer Ben Cunder. Again, make sure to check out his website, bencunder.com.
Hey, this is Ben Cunder, and you're hanging out on the Kelly Alexander Show.
Right.
Time to feature some new music on the Kelly Alexander Show, this time coming from our good friend Stonebridge, alongside recording artist Jamie Lee Wilson. Enjoy, it's called Out of Nowhere on the Kelly Alexander Show.
The Kelly Alexander Show. Follow us on Instagram, Kelly Alexander Show.
Thank you so much for spending time with us on the show, and a big thank you going out to my guests, Tyler Shaw, Haley Loren, and Ben Kunder. Here is your thought-provoking quote of the week, this time coming from Ruth St. Denis. I see dance being used as communication between body and soul to express what is too deep to find for words. Please make sure to follow us on all of our social media, on Twitter at K Alexander Show, on Facebook Kelly Alexander Show, on Instagram at Kelly Alexander Show, and of course, check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Kelly Alexander Show. Have an excellent week. You and I'll chat soon.